This morning is a class, and I encourage and would ask that you would participate in as questions are asked, if you have comments or things like that. I want us to use this time to get a better understanding of the things about which we're going to speak. The first question I'm going to pose to you, and anywhere I go to present about UCOM, the Upper Cumberland Outreach Ministry, you'll hear me call it UCOM. I ask this question because I want us to think deeply about what is our purpose as the church. This is the interactive part. This is where you talk. What's the purpose of the church?
Share the gospel.
Share the gospel, absolutely. What else? Okay. We have a responsibility to the world to get the gospel out there. Who else do we have a responsibility to?
Each other.
So, of all the things that we could think of that is the purpose of the church, I think we can bring it down to two different things. I'm sorry, I walk around a lot. I got to stay closer to that mic. Number one is to spread the gospel. Every soul is in need of and deserves the gospel. Now, what they do with that gospel, that's on them. But our responsibility is to get it out there. Many of us would think about the parable of the sower. It's to sow the seed. The second thing is to keep one another faithful. Another way, and maybe we don't like to hear it said this time, but we need to keep each other accountable. And we need to encourage one another. I know they were talking this morning about who was going to stay out here, and they talked about both a college and a teenage class. We need to be encouraging those folks because at some point, not being ugly, but I'm seeing a lot of gray hair out there like mine. Somebody else is going to have to step up and do the song leading. And somebody's going to have to lead those prayers. And somebody's going to have to wait on that table. And somebody's going to have to do all the things that are responsible for this congregation. And we need to be encouraging them. But we need to be encouraging one another too. Those folks who are doing things, encourage them to keep doing. The brother that led to prayer, I talked to him before, and he does visiting. And he says he gets great joy out of it, but I just wonder how much encouragement does that give those folks who just want somebody to talk to every now and then. Encouraging is not hard to do. Find something you're good at and share it with somebody else. So that's our purpose. We understand that we are the body of Christ. In fact, in Corinthians, Paul talks to the Corinthian brethren and talks about the fact if one member suffers, then all of us should feel the pain. But if one member is glorified, we should all be rejoicing with that person. And when we think of that, what's our immediate thought? The one body, and somebody's suffering or somebody's is rejoicing, who do we think about? Who? You think about here, don't you? As the body, correct? Well, this morning I want us to step outside of that box. Because every congregation I go to, that's what we think of. That's the way we have read this. This was written to a specific congregation. It most certainly was. The Corinthians. And they were told, you need to be taking care of one another. You need to uplift, encourage one another. And you need to recognize when that person's suffering, you need to help them out. You need to recognize when that person has done something and they're really proud of it, you rejoice along with them, encourage them on. But I want us to step outside of the box. And I want us to think about the one body as the church, not just a congregation. The church universal is the one body. Whether it's here, I've had the opportunity to be in Africa 5 times, whether it's in Lesotho or Swaziland or wherever in Africa, those folks in India, Brazil, wherever, the next county over, the next state, we're all part of one body. And this morning, what I want to talk to you about is how do we encourage that one body? How can we help get the gospel out there as one body? In Acts chapter 16, you may know the passage. Paul has the vision. And there's a man from Macedonia saying, come over and help us. Come help us. The Bible tells us that Paul determined that that meant he needs to go preach the gospel. Well, today, I believe we have a modern day Macedonian call. We alluded to that just a moment in the introduction. These counties where just every little bit, there's a little congregation. And it makes sense, folks. Think about at the time that many of these were established, you either walked, or maybe if you had a little money, you rode a horse or had a buggy and drove it to church. So these, or the church building, I should say, these little congregations were a place for that little community to come together and worship because they didn't get out. But now we have congregations who are almost within sight of each other. In fact, there are some counties where quite literally there was a congregation on one side of the road and within sight right down the road is another congregation. And the Macedonian call today, come help us. Come help us. There are congregations today who struggle from week to week to put someone in the pulpit, to deliver a gospel message. They're struggling to find someone who is willing to do that. I'm guessing, I don't know this congregation well, but after speaking with some folks, I'm pretty well assured that you don't have that problem here. If something happens and your minister can't deliver a message, you've got somebody else. And if that person can't, you've got somebody else. And if that person can't, you've got multiple folks who could step up and deliver a message. Some of these congregations don't have that. Can you imagine the stress that is placed on them not knowing whether or not they're going to have somebody to preach Sunday? What about their spiritual health? If we're thinking about encouraging one another and spurring one another on, as Hebrews would say, as bearing one another's burdens, as helping each other along, can you imagine how discouraging it is? I'm not even sure we're going to have a preacher Sunday. They need nurture and care. Now I'm going to ask you to participate again. I want you to think for a moment. How many of you can in some way trace your spiritual roots back to a little country congregation? Let me see some hands, folks. Would you take, Mom, raise yours, Bluff Springs, a little country congregation. Look around. Hold those hands up for me, please. I want y'all to look around. Now, you are where you are because maybe a job brought you or a family brought you here, whatever. But you're faithful in this congregation because you can trace your roots back to that little country congregation with those teachers. And maybe there was one classroom in the back of the auditorium. Some of us remember meeting outside when it was pretty. And those teachers instilled in you the love of God, they instilled in you a knowledge of what is expected, how you're to live, how you're to treat others, and how you can be what you're supposed to be for God. They instilled that in us. Now I want you to think about this as well. Those little country congregations. How many preachers, teachers, elders, deacons, song leaders, think about that. How many have they produced who have gone on to go to other congregations? I can trace my roots back to a little country congregation. Bluff Springs, grew up there. Had some of the best Bible teaching. Sometimes there was only one or two of us in class. I got some one-on-one attention when it comes to the Bible then. And now these same congregations who have produced preachers and teachers and elders and even missionaries, they've gone out and they're at different congregations and they're being faithful and they're helping those congregations grow. Those little country congregations are saying we need help. Come help us. We trained all of these folks and now they've gone out. We need you to send some folks back to us. We need help. Will we answer that call? As a congregation, realizing that we're part of the body universal, are we willing to answer that call and send assistance? Makes me think of Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, Paul is talking about how the Macedonians gave above and beyond what they were even able to give. And he reminded the Corinthians, you made a promise a year ago that you were going to do something. It would be in your benefit to continue doing that, to pick that back up where you left off and finish it. Folks need help. We see examples in the New Testament of congregations helping others. And yes, many times you will see it is financial help. That's not what I'm here about. But when you read in context in 2 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 8 or 9, when you read that, the Macedonian says, we want you to accept the gift of fellowship as well. They said, I want to be a part of it. Paul, when you go and you're going to help this congregation that needs help, we want to be a physical part of it. We want to go with. Are we ready to do that today? In fact, verse 4, 2 Corinthians 8, it is chapter 8, imploring us, begging us with much urgency that we receive the gift. This is New King James says, and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Not only do we want you to take this monetary gift that we've given above and beyond what we can actually give, we want to be part of the ministry. We want to be part of the aid, the assistance. We want to be a part of that. In Matthew 9, 37 and 38, Jesus looks out over the crowd. And the Bible says he's moved with compassion. Because he looks at these multitudes and they're wandering. They're lost. They're like sheep without a shepherd. And he tells his apostles, you need to pray. You need to pray that the Lord of harvest will send forth laborers to his harvest. Now, understand he didn't say you need to pray for somebody to take your place. He said you need to pray for others to come help. Folks, we have an opportunity to do that today. What if we could increase that labor force by encouraging men to step up and to maybe deliver a lesson. Maybe they just want to go teach a class. They're willing to go somewhere else and teach a class. Or maybe they would be willing to lead singing. Or maybe they'd be willing to go along with, or several of you go along with, and encourage someone who is willing to do that. We have an opportunity to increase that labor force. Not only can we increase the labor force, congregations like this who are blessed with men, multiple men of all ages, who would be able to deliver a message, to teach a class, to lead singing, we can send them out. We can answer that call. Come help us. And let's be honest. We can truly become fellow laborers in Christ by doing these types of things in our own community. The next county over. That's the purpose of the Upper Cumberland Outreach Ministry, UCOM. We want to answer that call. We want to help get people in the right places. There are men who are willing to teach and preach and lead singing and would like the opportunity. And there are congregations that need folks to teach and preach and lead singing. So you've got folks who want an opportunity. You've got opportunities out there. We need to put the two together. And that's how we'll answer the call. I want you to know, and I'll talk about that more in just a moment. I want you to know that this is a program that will be overseen by elders at the Double Springs Congregation. So it will be under that oversight, and we will answer to, we have to give reports to, explain what we're doing, how we're accomplishing, are we meeting our goals. So there is a plan. Now, understand this, folks. We don't have all the answers. You may have suggestions. You may have ideas that you want to share. We encourage We want those. We also have myself as the outreach minister, but we have other ministers who are willing to go along as well. Michael Lilly has agreed to be the deacon who will be in charge of this particular work as well. So we've got multiple folks who will be watching and working and trying to see what we need to do to make this grow and accomplish what we hope it will accomplish. I want to share with you the goals, and then I will share with you how we propose to reach those goals. We've got to make those connections. I told you about there's men who need and want to. There's congregations who have the need. We've got to get those together. But we've got to make connections with congregations first. We've got to figure out who needs what and who has something they can share. We want to provide training. We understand we're not asking men to become full-time preachers, although we do hope that through this program that might happen. But what we hope is somebody will say, you know what, I will deliver maybe one message a year. We can use you. And somebody might say, well, you know, a couple of Sundays a month, I might be able to do that. I wouldn't mind doing that. We can use you. Well, I only want to do it once a quarter. We can use you. The need is there for those folks who want the opportunity, and we want to give some training. What about those folks that, I'd kind of like to do it, but I just don't have the confidence. We want to provide training, and I'll talk about that in a minute, that will give you that confidence. And we want to be part of truly ministering, meeting the needs, and helping to grow these congregations. That's our goals. But I want to share with you what our goals are not, because I know this might be a concern. Number one, we have no desire to absorb, take over any other congregation. We know that those congregations have their leadership. We have no desire to undermine them or overpower them in any way. This is about help. And we need those folks to sit down and figure out what they need, and then us together see what we can do to meet those needs. And it's definitely not to boast up Double Springs or those of us that would be working in it in any way. It's simply to answer the modern day Macedonian call. Come, help us. So how do we accomplish this? How do we make those connections? Again, we've got to rely on folks like you who know folks in your congregations. Or you have family and friends that have told you about a little congregation here, there, or yon that is, they really need somebody to preach on the third Sunday. They don't have anybody on the third Sunday, or they're struggling to find anybody. They need somebody to preach every Sunday. We need to get somebody in there. You may know those congregations. You may know folks that are willing to do that. Somebody may have said, you know, I wouldn't mind preaching maybe once every now and then. We need to put those people in those positions. Training. Number one, this isn't going to cost anybody anything. We want this to be something that is easy, something that is inviting, and most of all, helpful. But we want to provide training that is led by folks who've been out there in the field. They've preached. They've taught for several years. They've led singing. They understand music. Whatever it is, we want to get those folks who are willing to share those skills to build up the confidence in some of these other folks that would say, you know, if I just knew a little bit more, I'd be willing to do it. I'll share with you this weekend a good buddy of mine that we grew up with. He's always been willing to step up and lead maybe a song on Wednesday night. And I invited him this weekend, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We went to a song leader workshop in Murfreesboro. And he decided he would come. When we left Saturday afternoon, he said, I've learned a lot, and I'm going to go back and I'm going to lead some singing now. Sometimes folks just need to know a little bit more. We hope to provide that type of thing with them so that they can get the confidence that they need. Folks, if we've got folks who have the desire, we're not encouraging them if we don't help them develop the skill. We're not encouraging them if we don't help them develop the skill if they've got the desire. So what does that look like? We want to schedule regular training. It's going to have an agenda or maybe a syllabus, those of us who are in education would think of. Here's what's going to be covered. We know folks can't come. Let's say we do it every Thursday night. We know folks can't come every Thursday night. But maybe you see, hey, this is about outlining a sermon. I want to learn how to outline. Or this time it's about how do you use the concordance and the Strong's and use the other different types of commentaries and things. How do you use that to help get material into your lesson? Where do you find, maybe a lesson will be on, where do you find outside resources so you can share stories that relate to the young people and they can take that and make it make sense when I'm trying to preach from the Scriptures? And you can look at that. I want to go take that one. I can't make it this Thursday, but maybe I can do that Thursday. And I'm just using Thursday as an example. We haven't decided that yet. I do think that probably will be. How about we give you an opportunity, once you put your lesson together, you've worked with somebody who's helped you put your lesson together, maybe even giving you an outline that all you had to do was fill the meat in. And then you have an opportunity to present that lesson. Not before a big congregation, but in just a setting of your peers, folks who are trying to learn the same thing, you get a chance to do that. That's what UConn wants to do. Now you've got somebody you can call in, hey, I'm working on this sermon, and you taught the class on such and such. Could you explain such and such a little bit better? Or, hey, I saw you in the class, and I see where you're doing a sermon too. Where are you going? And helping make those connections where folks can encourage one another. Our intention is to actually get things up and going and have both written and video material for folks to be able to go and get those references. Michael Lilly is very good at that, and he will be working with putting those things in. We want to have things on YouTube. We want to do a blog, and he will be working on those things. So there's lots of information that will be accessible. How do we minister? This is going to require some forethought of those congregations. Maybe they haven't done a VBS in years, and they really want to do VBS. They've noticed there's kids in the community, and we've got a chance of reaching people with VBS. Or maybe we haven't done a gospel meeting in X many years, and we really want a gospel meeting. You know, we used to have singings every month, and we haven't had a singing in this little area in a long time. We want to have a singing and invite the other congregations to come here so we can start doing things together again. Maybe they need some help with that. We would like to set up Bible studies, but we need some help with that. We want to do things in the community, but we need some extra help with that. Or we've got this PowerPoint, and we've got things where we can put our lessons on Facebook, but we really don't have anybody that's really good at that. Could you help us with that? I know you have people that can help with that. So how do we do that? Well, before you can help them plan, you've got to listen. And we want to sit down with the leadership of these congregations. And what's your vision? What do you want to do? What do you want? Where do you see yourself in a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years? I have the privilege of being in congregations that tell me of the time when there was 60, 80, 100 people. There's 6 now. 6. What happened? How do you plan on changing that? That's got to be a decision made by that congregation. We understand each congregation is autonomous. I don't have the right to tell this congregation what to do. We don't have the right to tell any congregation, but we can make suggestions. Hey, we've tried this. It worked. You want us to help you with it? You're in charge of it. Tell us what you want us to do. We've got to make a plan. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Once you make the plan, then you assess the progress. We've got to set up timelines. By this date, we want this to happen. By this date, we want this to happen. Here's what we see. Here's where we want to head. And a lot of folks will say this next one, it's the same thing. But let me explain. You assess, am I doing what I said I was doing? You evaluate, is it accomplishing what I wanted it to accomplish? So if you assess the plan and the plan's going exactly the way we said it was going to go, is it producing the results, evaluate, that you wanted it to produce? If it is, great, keep going. If it's not, you change it. Well, when you have something like this, folks are going to want to know, well, you know, what if I need help? What if I want to talk to somebody? Neil, what if I want to contact you? Or I want to talk to some of the elders at Double Springs. Now, I want to ask them about what their plans are and what they're doing to oversee this and so forth. We plan on, as we do this, we want to have a newsletter, both electronic and if someone needs it mailed, we plan on doing that. We'll have a website set up. It is up, but we don't have it complete yet. We want to provide things on YouTube. The younger generation, they want to look at YouTube. My future granddaughter, who is staying with us this weekend, I said, you want to watch Disney Plus? No, I want to watch YouTube. I don't know about this YouTube. I've got to be able to make sure I know what's going on that. But we went to YouTube. Some of you will appreciate this. And I was looking for something that I thought I could trust for her to watch. Because I wanted to look over my lesson one more time. I come across a little thing that said Merry Melodies. Anybody remember that? If you got gray hair, you better shake your head. I put on Bugs Bunny so I could go study. I wasn't worried about that. Yes, they did some silly stuff. But I didn't have to worry about inappropriate language. But she knew about YouTube. She's in first grade. And she can work that TV better than I can, which isn't saying much because I have trouble with technology. But anyhow, we've got to provide folks with the information in the place that they're going to look. The blog. Just talk about things. Facebook page where you can get on there and post things and ask questions and get a response. And then there will be a specific group of those who want to just be involved with the actual outreach ministry and want to talk to folks, other folks who are involved in that. And you would be on that group where not everybody could see it. You could ask a question. Well, such and such said they went to whatever congregation. And I'd really like to know what they preached on because I'm supposed to be there next week and I don't want to preach the same sermon. Have you thought about that? These little congregations who are having a different preacher every Sunday, there's a good chance that they're going to hear the same sermon multiple times if we don't keep up with who preached and what they preached. Now, preacher gets up and he preaches a sermon. It's a great sermon. And you compliment him at the end of the service and he's really proud and he thought he did a really good job. If he comes and preaches that same sermon next Sunday, what's going to be your attitude then? Well, most of you are still going to say it's a great sermon. But your elders are probably going to pull him to the side and say, we heard this sermon already. You need to move on. If you want to add to that sermon, make it deeper and go deeper. But you don't need to keep preaching the same thing over and over. That's where the spiritual health of these congregations is hurting. There's no continuity, and we need to look at that. 5 minutes? All right. Here's where we are. Free State. Right now, we're working with them. They need a preacher, teacher, for every other second Sunday. And we're providing that. Well, technically, we're providing a preacher on the third Sundays, too, because Michael Lilly is doing that as well. But he was doing that before we had the idea of UConn. So we're working with Free State every other second Sunday. Who else? A little congregation by the name of Stone up in Gainesboro. Every fifth Sunday, they need a preacher. Also ask that they could have just one time a month, just any Sunday of the month, you could just send a song leader. Just, we need, our song leader needs a break one time a month. I'm betting you have multiple song leaders here too that might be willing to go help them out. One Sunday per month. I also want you to know we're working with Chestnut Mound. We preach there. In fact, there's folks there today. We've got folks at Chestnut Mound and Stone, and then I had the opportunity to present here, and I do appreciate that. And, you know, there are times when we're running into the fact that we don't have enough folks to spread around. So we're looking for men who are willing to do it. How can you help? Pray for us, folks. Pray that this goes the way that God intends for it to go, and that we recognize that direction and we are wise enough to go in the direction that He wants to take it. If you know seasoned, or if you are a seasoned preacher, teacher, song leader, be willing to help a little. Help share those skills. You know men who can do it. Maybe they're not, but you know they can. Encourage them to do it. If you have those names, and encourage them to contact us. Get your youth involved. Folks, we got to start training up. We got to start training up these young people to take our place. No, it doesn't give us the right to stop, but we need to be walking beside them, working beside them, so they see how we do things and listen to when they have suggestions. Hey, have you ever tried it this way? Encouragement. Whether you're encouraging the men who are seasoned to go help out, the ones who can go preach that aren't to do that, or whether you say, you know what, let's get about five or six of us and such is going to preach at Stone Sunday. Let's go down there. Let's support them at Stone. Let's be sitting in the audience. Because I'm going to tell you what you do. Not only do you encourage that preacher who looks out and sees those familiar faces, folks he knows are behind him and want to see him succeed, but now that other congregation has 5, 6, 10, whatever extra members. And now all of a sudden the singing takes on a whole new level. And they become excited. You see, you not only encourage that man that went there to preach or teach or lead singing, but you encourage that congregation you went to. Because now we see what it could be like. We've got to get more people in here. Here's the contact information. I believe I've shared, I've given a couple of my cards out. But my number is here. That's my cell number. If I do call, if you see a 270, don't automatically think it's a scam. The first few weeks I was here, I would call the men back and say, hey, I'm coming, or we're sending such and such, and they wouldn't answer. Well, I'd be out on the job or whatever, and I'd have to get to a phone that was a Cookville phone and then call. Well, then they still wouldn't answer if they didn't recognize the number. So I would have to call somebody else to call somebody to tell them to pick up when I called them. 270-348-5162, that's me. I will answer if I possibly can. If not, I'll get back to you quickly. My Gmail is here as well. You can contact the Double Springs congregation. On the back of the card that I've shared, there is also a way to get to the Facebook and some of the other, our website. There are ways to get with that, but again, not quite as much information as there. I've taken up almost all the time talking. I apologize. I wanted a chance to give you an opportunity to ask questions, but for just a moment, are there any questions that I could address?
How can a fellow from Kentucky come here and see the needs?
We were talking with the Double Springs congregation. I was talking specifically with Stacy Brewington and Brother Kenneth Anderson. And Brother Kenneth did a lot of itinerant preaching around. He lives in Jackson County. That's Stacy's father-in-law. And we got to talking about that, and we just said, you know, what if we could send preachers and they could call and say, hey, I need somebody, and then they don't have to worry about it anymore. Somebody's going to be there. They know a solid gospel preacher is going to be there to deliver the message and not have to worry about it. So we began thinking, well, how can you do that? How can we do that? Well, there's got to be a centralized location. We've got to have names of people who are willing to go, and we've got to have congregations who need that. And we just started making the list and contacting congregations. And in fact, some congregations have contacted us, Whitleyville and Beech Grove, who don't need someone continually, but they both contact us and says, hey, we hear what you're doing. We need a preacher on such and such date. Can you send somebody? So, and we're hoping as the word gets out there, some of these congregations... we've got a call on Friday night before. Hey, I need somebody Sunday. So we try to keep somebody who has, I say, a lesson in their back pocket where they're always ready to go on the spur of a moment. Hey, I can go teach a class. I can go preach a lesson because I keep it in my mind so I can go. But basically, it really wasn't my idea. We just got to talking, and I think it was already, that seed was already there in Brother Kenneth Anderson's mind and in Stacy's mind. And as we got to talking, we decided, well, maybe it's time to do something about that. We have a lot to iron out. And some of you may have suggestions and ideas, and we would encourage those. We know we don't have all the answers. We're looking for help so we can help somebody else. Anyone else? I sure thank you for your time, your attention, your participation. I hope it's been beneficial, at least the part that we studied about our responsibility to help one another. And maybe it's put something in your mind, an idea of how you can help someone, whether it's through UCOM or not, but how you're able to encourage someone to remain faithful. Thank you for your time.